Elissa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are ready to talk some college football. We are going to head to Norman, Oklahoma, and zero in on the Sooners, who, oh, by the way, are coming off an impressive win over Florida State last weekend. We can always count on a lively discussion when James Hale joins us from OUinsider.com and KREF 1400 AM Total Sports. James, always a pleasure. How are you?
Everything is going great. The only way it could be better for me if I was in the same studio as you are. Just, you know, being this far away, I don't get to see your pretty face, and but hey, this is the next best thing, I guess.
Well, you can always go to eradiosports.com and just click on there, James.
Hey, you know, that's what I always tell anybody. You have a big audience up here, you know, it looks like. When I mention your name up here, you know, a lot of people know you, and of course, that's from the Thunder broadcast as well. But hey, we still remember you trading elbows on the hardwood at the University of Oklahoma.
I think you'd be awfully proud of me. I have to mention, you know, when I covered the Sooners against Utah State, you told me, you said, don't wear heels, and I didn't wear heels when I was standing next to Bob, so he didn't get too bad of a crick in his neck, I think.
Well, that's, you know, Bob's not intimidated by many things, you know, but, you know, when we watched that Thunder broadcast, and he's looking up at you, I could tell he's going, holy smokes. So there's two things. He said, man, this is a pretty girl, but then he said, yeah, and she's really tall. So that's the great thing about it, but you do a great job. And you were great on that sideline. See, and you know what's great? I'm proud of you, E, because, you know, I've known you for a long time, and you actually, you know, started working with me when you were, you know, just breaking into the business.
Yes.
And, you know, now you're more than just a basketball analyst. And even though you do great in basketball, and I think you ought to do commentary because you know what a zone is, and you know when when a post player is not getting position, and you know when a team shouldn't run and when they should run. But hey, you know, you're getting to, you know basketball, I mean football, you know baseball, I mean you know sports, and people are beginning to figure that out.
Well, it's all about evolving. James, I learned so much from you when I was your intern, in fact, right there at 1400. Let's talk about the Sooners. They were so explosive offensively last week. Defensively, they delivered in a very big way. But I know you were at the game, but you've also had a chance to review the film. What impressed you the most about these Sooners?
Well, that they executed at such a high level. By their own admittance, they held things back against Utah State. And it's no different if it's in the Switzer era or whatever era you're in. When you're only running half your offense, or you're not running things at a high, you're running everything that you got in your arsenal, your offense is liable to be stale. It's liable not to be where you want it to be. And against what we saw was the real offense, the real way they're going to play football this year, and they operated at such a high level, and it opened up Landry Jones and allowed him to be the quarterback that he can be. He was handcuffed by his own coaching staff, and they admitted this in the first game, and so they didn't execute those particular plays or a limited offense as high a level as they wanted to. That surprised them because they thought Landry and the offense was ready to do that. Well, maybe not. Maybe they, you know, he's still a developing quarterback, but when they put in everything, which was the swing passes, the bubble screens, the short crossing routes, the tight end play, all of a sudden that offense opened up, and Landry, we saw why everybody at that, you know, within this program at that university are so high on him. He was magnificent. And once again, we saw that they have more than just Ryan Broyles as a weapon or DeMarco Murray as a weapon. Moses Madu, you can tell, is quicker, faster than he was last year. He's excited about his opportunity to finally get to be a running back. Even though it's in a backup role, he knows he's going to get, you know, 30% of the time on the field, which is more than he's had. He looked fantastic in the brief time that he was in. Cameron Kinney, who we wrote off at the end of last year because of too many drop passes, too many times in big games he didn't come through, he worked hard in the offseason, came back a better player. Now he's their second-best receiver, and he's making big plays. The touchdown catch that he caught from Landry, Landry threw it in the only spot he could throw it to be caught. But Cameron made a magnificent catch. It was either going to be incomplete or Cameron was going to come up with it. And they are making more competitive catches this year than they made last year when they had 69 drops during the season. They're catching the ball this year, and that's been a big plus for Landry in that offense.
You talk about competitive catches, but, you know, what I took away from watching that game against Florida State is it seemed like they played with so much more passion. They were more emotional when they came out from the start.
Well, this was a big game. This was Florida State. And when you come to Oklahoma, I think that those players, and I've been told this by so many different guys, that have come through the ranks at OU. When you're Oklahoma, you look forward to playing what you consider the other elite programs in the country. And Florida State's always going to be looked at that way. They may not be playing that way, or they may not have played that way the last couple of years, but it's still Florida State. And you're still going to get team's best shot. And that's what Florida State got on Saturday. And unfortunately for them, they didn't match up against OU. But OU did play with a lot more enthusiasm. This was a game on national television. It went over most of the country. The players knew that. It was their chance to make a statement that we are Oklahoma again. We are a team that's going to contend for a national title. If you come to Oklahoma, no matter how young you are, you may not know the history. You may not know who Jimbo Elrod is or Leroy Selman is, or you may not know who Steve Davis is when you come in. But you learn that very quickly here. This staff, one thing Coach Stoops does, he teaches them the history, and they get a historical lesson. And those players also hear so much about the great history at OU, they can't help but want to add to it. And they knew this Florida State game would give them a chance to add to at least the luster of what Oklahoma is and put them back on the national map again. And if you notice on the national scene, they're talking about Oklahoma being a national title contender again. And it's one thing that's interesting about our society today and how our media works today. You're either on or you're off every week. You're either a Heisman candidate one week or you're not the next. And I think that's really crazy, and I don't really try to operate that way, but that's the way it is. So they went from one week that it's a big concern, Oklahoma's not really the team you want to be, to, now, boy, Oklahoma looks great. They've got a great chance to run the table. It's just amazing how it works.
James Hale is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do need to take time to pause and recognize our premier corporate sponsor, and that's our friends at Western Company of Texas. You can go to their website at wct.us.com. Also, join us online at eradiosports.com. This terrific interview with James Hale will be posted there on our e-podcast page. One of the guys I want to talk to you about, James, you know, you talked about Landry Jones, Ryan Broyles. What about in terms of the offensive line, Ben Haburn? How is he progressing? A lot of folks want to know how he's doing down here.
Well, Ben's one of their better players. I mean, Ben is a sophomore. He started as a freshman. He's battled back from some minor nicks and injuries. He's having a good year. Ben's a good player. I think they need Ben to be a good player because he's one of their better players. So he's playing well. Stephen Good is another athlete from Texas that's playing at left guard. You know, Stephen is still a developing player because there's some things he's limited on probably, but he's big and strong. He's the strongest player on the team. Needs to continue to work on his feet work. And I think in that offensive line, it's five new starters basically from a year ago. When I say that, I know Good started some, Ben started some, I know Tyler started some, you know, but they didn't always start at the same time. They didn't always start together. Now, those three guards, those three inside players did start towards the end of the year. And so they've been together a little bit. And then you throw Gabe Eichert in the mix, a converted tight end out of Oklahoma City, Bishop McGinnis. He's a very athletic player. He's actually probably got better feet than those three, or certainly better than Good and Evans, and that really helps him in the guard play. They have more depth this year, but it's still a group that's coming together. But they showed that depth last week against Florida State. Donald Stevenson, who they're really high on at left tackle, gets hit in the back with a helmet, and he has to come out of the game. But Jarvis Jones is the guy that when you talk to those coaches, they will tell you they think he's going to play in the National Football League. He comes right in at left tackle and actually probably gave a little better performance than any of the other tackles that day. That was impressive. Gabe played well inside. Bronson Irwin out of Mustang, Oklahoma, a true freshman. This is the one area in the offensive line where freshmen are coming into programs and playing earlier than they've ever played before because, they come out of high school 300-plus pounds. And they're in the weight room. They have better training in the coming out of high school. And here's Bronson Irwin, a true freshman, giving a great account of himself at right guard. And also Josh Allendole, which is another athlete from Texas, a redshirt freshman getting his first action. So they played 10 guys. Brian Lepec is a senior transfer from Colorado State that they really like. He's their backup center, but he played some at guard. Oklahoma had six guys at the end of the year on the offensive line. And right now they have 13 of 14 players listed in the offensive line. They played 10 last week. That's just a drastic change from a year ago.
You know, you bring up so many great points. It's neat to hear about the chemistry, how they're really coming together. But I would highly recommend getting on your show sometime. Ben Haburn's former high school position coach. He's now the head coach at Liberty Christian, Greg Price. And he talked about Ben Haburn, that he's perhaps one of the most disciplined athletes that he's ever had the opportunity to coach. You know, always goes above and beyond the call of duty. But he had such dramatic physique changes from his sophomore to his junior year. And he kind of joked with me, James. He said, you know, most offensive linemen, they're pretty liberated with their eating habits. But he said that's not been the case with Ben Haburn. And he really expects big, big things for him in the future.
Hey, if you look at Ben and you look at the offensive line at OU, it's not your grandfather's offensive line. I mean, not your grandfather, but your father's offensive line. Because remember back in the 70s and the 80s, a lot of times you just had heavy-set guys. They had bellies on them, and that's how they put on weight.
Right.
That's not how it is at Oklahoma. Oklahoma actually dropped, I forgot the number Smitty gave me, but they lost a lot of body fat and changed bodies around to some guys, and yet they got bigger. Tyler Evans is at 335 pounds, and yet he's so trim that you look at him, you'd guess he's 300. He's actually lost weight here in training camp because he didn't like playing at 330, so he told me the other day he's down to 320. That's still massive, E. 320.
Yeah.
And yet this guy is a flat belly. You know, he's just trim. Ben's the same way. I agree with his position coach, Greg Price. You know, because Ben looks great. Ben's a flat belly out there, or basically is, and he's at 298 pounds. Stephen Good's at 315. Now, Donald Stevenson, I saw him at an eating establishment the other day, and he walks in. He's massive. But somebody asked me, is that a basketball player? But he's a 315-pound offensive tackle. And so they've done a great job in the offensive line. It's a different philosophy. Not everybody cares if their offensive line is a little trimmer. Not everybody cares if, you know, the body fat's down a little bit. But Oklahoma's trying to build these guys up the right way, and they call it good weight. And under Jerry Smith, the strength and conditioning coach, they're getting there. Look at the defensive line that Oklahoma has. Look at Jamarcus McFarland. Now, he's a 301-pound defensive tackle. I don't see where there's fat on him at all. Maybe there is somewhere, but I don't know where it is. That's how those guys are, man, and that's Oklahoma's approach to football for their big guys.
Since we are on topic talking about weight, I do have to ask you your impressions of DeMarco Murray. He's gone on record, talked about how he's lost weight coming into this season. What are you seeing out of him that you like?
Well, he's playing great. He's healthy. In the first game, when they needed him to, he carried it 35 times and was a hoss. I'm shocked he wasn't named as a team captain, because he's trying to do everything he can to lead this football team. DeMarco's quiet by nature. His example is how he works. He's a guy that finally got to go through training camp. You know, he's always been banged up. He's always come back from unique injuries, or he's been banged up, and so he hasn't been able to go through a full off season. But he was able to this year. He was able to go through the spring, the off season, the summer. He looks fantastic, and DeMarco should have a great year. Now, DeMarco is being patient. He's waiting for that offensive line to gel, because I don't think they're a great run-blocking unit yet. So it's kind of a work in progress. But now that Moses Madu is back, a senior that's right out of Norman High School, to help spell him a little bit, I think DeMarco's going to have a banner year. DeMarco will be one of the key reasons Oklahoma has success this year and how far they go. I think a lot will depend on how well Oklahoma runs the football, but they have one of the better running backs in the country, and they have a great tandem in DeMarco Murray and Moses Madu.
The Sooners certainly have a very big test on Saturday against Air Force at home. I think the Falcons will present, you know, just a big test. They're coming off such a huge win against BYU. We follow them so closely down here.
Well, they were tremendous. If you listen to the OU coaches and you went just by what the OU coaches and players say, you think this is going to be won by a field goal with 1 second to go, and they hope Oklahoma's on top. They have praised and talked about Air Force so much. They have so much respect for Air Force, it almost scares you. But Air Force is the type of team, if you're a coach on the other end, you're going to be really impressed with them, because they play good, sound, fundamental football. And they have figured out a way, within the way that they play, and the way they recruit, I should say, they figured out a way to be competitive. So they're an option team. They've developed the fly bone, which they spread wings out. They have guys in motion. You don't know who the pitch man's going to be. They run the triple option. They cut block you on the offensive line more than power block you. They try to sneak receivers downfield, and that's an option for the quarterback to watch out for, too. So you have to play them fundamentally sound on the other end. Now, I'll be honest, most of the time Oklahoma plays these kind of games, and since they stress fundamentals, they stress discipline, usually Oklahoma eats these teams up. What Oklahoma struggles with sometimes is that running quarterback, that scrambling quarterback, or that quarterback that's dropping back for, you know, for quarterback draws. And that's not Air Force's game. But this will be an interesting game within the game, though, to see the discipline on Oklahoma's defensive end against the discipline of the triple option out of the fly bone, out of a spread formation on the offensive side. And then on the other side of the ball, Air Force, they attack. They don't stay on the ground long. They're very good at getting up. You know, off the ground, the corners will challenge you. They have all-league corners. They play in a league where teams are throwing it all the time. They're not as big up front, so they stunt. And again, they get blocked, but they learn how to get up in a hurry. Kevin Wilson was so funny. I don't know if you heard his comment, but he goes, "Hey, they're good. They're tough. This is going to be really tough. Let's face it. These guys train to kill people. They're not going to be on the ground at all. They're used to bouncing out of foxholes and running somewhere else." Oh, I was cracking up, man. But that's how they look at it. And, you know, he thinks that it's going to be really a tough challenge.
I guess, you know, it's no surprise what I'm hearing you say, talking about Air Force and just how the coaches from Oklahoma are really giving them so much respect, because covering TCU as much as we do on our program down here, we hear many times Coach Gary Patterson just talking about the utmost respect that he has for that program at Air Force.
Talk about a great program. Look what they're building at TCU, and if they ever get that new stadium built and things, there would be no reason, and I don't think Gary Patterson is ever going to leave anyway, but, man, they've got quite a program going. But that's, you know, that's understandable with Air Force. Air Force is the best academy out there. I know Navy is coming on, and Army's still a little bit behind those two, but Air Force is the one that usually carries the banner for the academies, and they're a bowl team every year, and nobody that goes into a bowl game likes to play them. They just pound people because you're not used to playing that kind of football all year. And they certainly have Oklahoma's attention and Oklahoma's respect, there's no question.
James, we certainly appreciate you coming on with us this weekend. Of course, we want to direct you to OUinsider.com. James Hale is the lead reporter for that. And also, you can check him out online at Total Sports, KREF 1400 AM, right there in Norman, Oklahoma. James, always a pleasure. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure. You have a great weekend.
You bet. We're going to step outside. Jason Peter's going to be joining us here in just a moment. Stay close.